John, prior programs, you made a prediction, something that still is active, the Yellowstone's caldera, that in the middle of May 2006, deadly clouds of gas will come out of the caldera, killing herds of animals, possibly people. That could be a big problem if that happens.
Well, it's also, there are rumors that that's been happening actually for the past year.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had entire herds of elk and buffalo that have been dying that the Park Service has blamed on them eating poison lichen, which I think is one of the most ridiculous stories I've ever heard. So already I believe that there are these, that there are actually clouds of toxic gas that are being released from the caldera that pose a threat. Again, that is a much lesser scenario than others have predicted. My projections of the caldera had been that there would be sections of the caldera that would simply begin to collapse, that these releases of larger pockets of gas would actually then would then reduce the pressure on the caldera. Instead of, for example, a massive explosion of the caldera, which of course would
deadly
cow. That would cause clouds of ash and gas to then waft across the central part of the United States, destroying crops in Kansas and Nebraska, and creating acidic soil. The four horsemen of the American apocalypse, literally, would be. And the way I see that in the four greatest dangers for the United States that we're looking at between now and, say, 2012, 2015 or so, within the next 10 years, are the Yellowstone caldera, Mount Rainier in Washington, and actually the entire activation of the volcanic flumes underneath Mount Rainier, Mount Baker, Mount Adams, and actually going all the way down as far to the south in the very northern parts of California. You've got Lassen and Shasta. The San Andreas Fault, obviously, because the most expensive real estate in the world is right along that particular fault line, and the New Madrid Fault Line that runs up the through the entire Mississippi Valley, and these have always been considered the four great horsemen of the American apocalypse. Is that a series of these things all occurring within a relatively short period of time that would destroy crops, destroy businesses, destroy homes, cause mass death and destruction. And the really frightening part about this is that we are looking just within the past year or so at precursive warnings
of all of them,
of each one of these things beginning to happen. And the precursor being that we've seen some activations along the San Jacinto fault line just in the last few weeks. And I've done some scanning on each one of these. Again, obviously, always before I do the show, I do a remote viewing, and I actually have some very good friends here. William Chappell, Anna DeVito, my wife, they were students of mine from my remote viewing class, and they actually came over, and we were working on maps before the program, so hopefully at some point throughout the show we're going to be able to kind of go through a list of these things.
Okay. Do you see this impact, deep impact, with the comet, the Temple 1, as a test to see if we could hit or divert an asteroid, or do you see this, Sean, as just really a scientific endeavor to see the makeup of a comet?
Well, December 27, 2004, while the world was focused on the Indian Ocean tsunami, a few astronomers were contemplating the possibility of an even deadlier disaster, of a massive asteroid striking Earth, a fifth of a mile wide, heftier than the space rock that leveled this vast swath of Siberian forest in 1908, Tunguska. And it was called Near-Earth Asteroid 2004 MN4, and it grabbed the attention of NASA scientists just before Christmas. Now, they put the chance of an April 13th, 2029 collision, it's obviously a long ways away, at 1 in 2,700. Then 2 days later, upped the odds to 1 in 165. And on the morning of the 27th, and this is obviously all the news was on the tsunami at that time, this is 2004, the astronomers then elevated their assessment again, this time to a 1 in 38 chance. Now, on the Torino scale, which measures the likelihood and potential severity of an asteroid impact, they gave the asteroid a 4, which is the single highest alert that has ever been issued for an asteroid. What's going on is that back in night, and this is the strange thing about this is that there are, and this seems like science fiction right now, but there are a group of asteroids that are headed towards Earth, and this is about the fifth major announcement that has come out by NASA, and these began in October of, I'm sorry, they began in 1996, 97 or so, where there's a big newscast that said October 28th, 2027 is the end of the world and an asteroid is heading towards us, and then NASA backed off on those predictions. But if you go on to some of these sites, go on to JPL and go on to NASA and what have you, that between 2027 and 2029, you have a group of these asteroids that are coming closer to Earth. They're coming to within 0.001 parsecs of Earth.
Too close for my comfort
zone. And again, this is a four. Now, going back now, in 1994, and this is the book that I'm working on now that should be out in the next couple of weeks, the Vajra Chronicles, back in 1994, I did a remote viewing. I figured the best way for me to take a look at history was to see if there was some way that I could use a remote viewing technique combined with a Tibetan technique that we call soul transfer that allowed me to do, instead of a past life progression, do a post life progression. A lot of the work that Raymond Moody has done and Mass Dreams of the Future, for example, I forget the name of the author off the top of my head, but taking people into post life progressions to what their next lives will be approximately 100 years from now or so. So I thought the best way to be able to predict the future was to go to the future and then see if I could somehow see a history for humanity. And one of the things that was predicted in this the Vajra Chronicles back in 1994 in this this talk or lecture or meditation that I gave was the last great wormwood star, as it's called in the Bible, or the last great comet that causes the last 7 years of real problems or devastation on the planet, hit somewhere in approximately 2028 AD, and then causes all kinds of problems until about 2034. Now, that's a way, way long ways out. That seems so much more like science fiction. But to have all of this NASA and JPL stuff now come around.
It is strange. Let me
also point out, just the last point on the asteroids, every Bible code scholar and researcher now has stated very emphatically that they have seen in the Bible codes, and this is to a man, and there's vast disagreement between people that are doing Bible codes, see a specific asteroid that is coming towards Earth in 2010. Gives the year. There's very little debate on this as to when this to occur, that the asteroid itself somehow, either by hitting the outer atmosphere or through the exact type of thing that JPL just did, blasts this asteroid into 9 larger pieces, and these pieces then strike an ecliptic, if you will, across the planet. And then I worked with a Bible code researcher out of Texas, a gentleman by the name of Joseph Noah, who wrote a fantastic book called Future Prospects of the World According to the Bible Code, and he nailed it down to 3 impacts in the United States that he felt would occur in Utah, Nevada, and Texas. Once again, how big the rocks are going to be, we don't know. This is once again leading up into what is the difference between prophecy, Bible code prophecy, for example, and prediction.